Chapter 7. A Terrible Shock. Eilish spent Thanksgiving with Tony's family. And after that, his mother was disappointed that she would not spend Christmas with them too. Eilish explained that Father Flood was expecting her to work in the church hall again this year. She did not tell Tony and his mother that she would be happier helping there than spending a long day with Tony and his family in their small apartment. She loved them, each of them. But sometimes she enjoyed her time alone after seeing them more than the time she spent with them. In the days after Christmas, she saw Tony every evening. On one of these evenings, he told her about the plan that he, Maurice and Lawrence had to start their own building company. They had bought a cheap piece of land on Long Island, and one day they would build houses on it. There would be 5 houses. One for his family, because his mother wanted a garden and a house of her own, and 3 houses that they would sell. And perhaps the 5th house could be Tony's, if he wanted it.
"Would you like to live in Long Island?" Tony asked Eilish.
"The house will be near the sea, not far from where the train stops."
Eilish watched him carefully. She knew that this was not only his way of asking her to marry him, but his way of saying that it had already been agreed between them. Now, he was showing her the life that he could give her. As Tony kept talking, Eilish said nothing in reply. She did not want to say that she would think about it, because she knew how that might sound. Instead, she nodded and smiled and reached out to take his hands. Eilish wrote once more to Rose about Tony, sending the letter to her sister's office again. But she never once told her mother about him. Rose replied that Tony seemed very nice, and that since they were both young, they did not have to decide anything about the future. The best news, Rose said, was that by the summer, Eilish would be able to get a better job as a bookkeeper. As the spring came, Eilish began to study after college, and on Sundays too. She was careful not to spend more time with Tony than before. He always walked her home from college on Thursdays, they went to the dance together on Fridays, and to a diner and a movie on Saturdays. She found her job in Bartocci's boring and tiring, especially when the shop was not busy and the time went by slowly. But Miss Bartocci had said that they might be able to offer her a job as a bookkeeper when there was one, even before she passed her final exams. One afternoon, as Eilish was trying not to look at the clock, she saw Father Flood coming into the store. There was nothing strange about that, because she knew that he was a friend of Mr. Bartocci's. She noticed him speak to Miss Fortini and look over at her. Then Miss Fortini asked Eilish to come with them to the office. There was something in Miss Fortini's face that made Eilish want to turn away from her, but she followed them quietly. When they reached the office, Miss Fortini left them.
"Eilish," Father Flood said.
"It's Rose. Your mother found her dead this morning."
Eilish said nothing.
"She died in her sleep,"
Father Flood said.
"Died in her sleep,"
Eilish repeated.
"It was sudden,"
he said.
"She was playing golf yesterday and feeling fine. She died in her sleep, Eilish."
"And my mother found her?"
"Yes."
"Do my brothers know?"
"Yes, they're on their way home."
Was it possible to return to the store and stop this happening? Eilish thought. But Father Flood was here. She had heard what he said. She could not push back time.
"I can't believe it," she said. "There was no sign."
"It happened this morning. The funeral will be the day after tomorrow,"
he said gently. It was his soft voice and the careful way he did not look into her eyes that made her start to cry.
"Why did I ever come over here?"
she suddenly said through her tears.
Rose wanted a better life for you, he replied.
I won't ever see her again.
It's very sad, Ailish. But she's in heaven with God now. That's what we should think about. And she'll watch over you. We have to pray for your mother and remember that God's ways are not our ways.
Why did I come? Why did I ever come?
Ailish kept repeating.
Let me take you to my house now, he said. Your mother will be with the priest in Enniscorthy, and we'll telephone her there.
I haven't heard her voice since I left, Ailish said. What will I say to her?
Later, when Ailish spoke to her mother on the telephone, there were times that she could not be understood because she was crying so much. Her mother spoke slowly and quietly.
The doctor said that Rose had a bad heart. She told no one and went on as normal.
She knew.
That's what the doctor said. It looks like she's sleeping now, Ailey. But she's gone. I never thought that it could happen. After your daddy died, I had you and Rose and the boys. When the boys left, I said the same. And when you left, I had Rose. But I have no one at all now, Ailey. I have no one.
Ailish was not able to reply.
I'll say goodbye to her for you at the funeral, her mother said. She's with your daddy in heaven now.
She is, Mammy.
After Ailish had put the phone down, she began to cry again and could not stop. When she was calmer, Father Flood drove her to Mrs. Keogh's, where Tony was waiting. But Ailish could not speak to him or anyone. Father Flood said that he would say a mass for Rose the next morning, then left her alone with Tony for a moment in the hall. Tony took her in his arms.
I'm sorry that I can't talk, she said.
I was trying to imagine what you're feeling if one of my brothers had died, he said.
As soon as Ailish woke in the morning, she thought of her brothers arriving home for the funeral and Rose's body being taken from the house to the church. Mrs. Keogh and Tony came with her to Mass and were shocked at the end when she said that she wanted to go to work. She went to work the next day as well, and to her evening classes. On Friday, Tony took her to a diner instead of the dance. He listened to her talk about Rose. She liked the way that he allowed her to be silent if she wanted. He held her hand or put his arm around her as he walked her home. One evening, there was a letter for her in the kitchen from Jack. He had written it on the day of the funeral and told her everything that had happened. Then, he wrote that he did not think that their mother could bear to be on her own, but he and his brothers had to go back to their jobs in England. All his mother was hoping for was to see Ailish. Ailish read the letter a few times and walked around her room, not knowing what to do. Perhaps she could get on the subway and take the next boat across the Atlantic. But no, that was not possible. Should she go upstairs and knock on one of the lodgers' doors? But none of them could help her. The only person who could help her was Tony. She looked at the clock. It was 10:30. She found her coat and went quickly up the basement steps to the street, trying not to make a sound. Tony's mother answered the door in her nightdress, and Ailish could see that the bed was already put down in the kitchen. She felt sorry for coming, but she could not go home now. Tony was getting dressed in the bedroom. Suddenly, Frank appeared in his nightclothes and smiled at her, before Tony came out and told him to go back to bed. Tony took Ailish down to the street and held her close to him as they walked. They did not speak, and she knew that he loved her. She knew that it mattered to him that she had come to him for help,
and that he would come to her. He took her to a diner, and she gave him Jack's letter to read.
"Your brother must be a very nice man," he said when he had finished.
There were tears in his eyes.
"Your mother will write to you soon, and you must come to my house before you even open her letter."
Eilish did not know what he meant. Did he want to comfort her, or did he want to know what her mother said about her returning to Ireland? She felt again that it was a mistake to have come tonight, but she did not want to hurt him. So she thanked Tony for being there when she needed him. He took her home to Mrs. Keogh's, and once more they did not speak. She felt that he was in pain, knowing that she belonged somewhere else. When they reached the basement steps, he held her, but did not kiss her. She moved as close to him as she could, and they both began to cry. She wanted to tell him that she would not go back. But perhaps he believed that she should go. Perhaps he was crying now for everything. For Rose, who was dead. For her mother, who was lonely. For Eilish, who had to go. And for himself, who would be left. She knew that she could not go down to her room on her own. And neither could he walk away. She took the door key from her pocket and made a sign to be quiet. They went down the steps without making a sound, and she unlocked the door.
"Is this where you live?"
he whispered.
"Yes, and if Mrs. Keogh hears you, she won't let me stay here."
He kissed her, and she pulled him against her. They moved towards the bed without speaking. She quietly undressed and lay on the bed beside him. Then he moved on top of her, and she held him tight.